The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the May issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to take a look at the front cover at the very top. It says 100 Ideas for Your Best Summer Ever. And then right in the picture, middle of the page, it has a picture of Royals rookie Bobby Witt Jr. is the king of the summer and has him sitting in a king's chair eating a strawberry ice cream cone, chased down the ice cream truck. Then, number 4, watch this guy make it look easy. And 37, do nothing. We're going to open the page and look at the lineup. Then this is the May-June issue. School's out for summer, page 34. We've got 100 great ideas for your summer, including checking out phenom Bobby Witt Jr., building a treehouse, perfecting your J, or just doing nothing. Some of the sport's most hallowed records could be in danger. Here's who has a shot to rewrite the history books. That's on page 18. Page 22 covers what if franchises merged. We could see the London Jungle Cat or the New York Rats. Then on page 46, welcome back, Tom Brady. The QB isn't the first to retire to find that life on the sidelines isn't all it's cracked up to be. In page 48, identical twins A-Man and Osor Thompson are taking an interesting path to potential NBA stardom. And the Favs? Page 2, freeze frame. Page 7, sports cards. Page 9, hot take. Page 11, birthdays. Page 27, posters. The treehouse on page 31. What's the call? Page 52. Games? Page 53. Art gallery? Page 54. And on page 56, Buzz Beamer. Page 2, freeze frame. A picture of Joel Embiid right in the middle shooting a jump shot. One-man team, March 18, 2022, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. No, Joel Embiid didn't take on the Mavericks all by himself. But the Sixers big man did attract the attention of all five Dallas players when he hoisted this shot. Embiid made a strong case for his first MVP award, finishing with a game-high 32 points as well as 8 rebounds and a career-high 5 steals as Philadelphia beat Dallas 111-101. And our second freeze frame, Tall Tales. Pictures of women's soccer here. March 27th, 2022, Brisbane, Australia. Hair was flying when the Brisbane Lions in red and blue met the Collingwood Magpies in the Australian Football League women's playoffs. Brisbane won handily, 72-20, at its home stadium known as the Gabba. File that name away because you'll be hearing it in a decade. At the 2032 Olympics, a rebuilt Gabba will serve as the game's main venue. Now let's move to page 8, Who's Who in Sport. Line 1, Brooks Lee, Cal Poly Mustangs, shortstop, baseball player. His height is 6'2", his weight is 205 pounds. He was born February 14, 2001, hometown, St. Louis, Obispo, California. Brooks, considered the top prospect in this summer Major League draft, Lee hit .413 through his first 32 games in 2022. He also had 27 walks and just 8 strikeouts. As a redshirt freshman in 2021, he led the Mustangs with a .342 average, 10 homers, and a school record 27 doubles. But did you know Lee has a ways to go before becoming the best switch-hitting shortstop in Cal Poly history? The school is also the alma mater of Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith, a former Mustang walk-on. Anthony Robinson, USMT defender. His height is 6 feet. His weight is 154 pounds. He was born August 8, 1997, in his hometown, Liverpool, England. On January 27th, Robinson, who has become a mainstay at left back, scored the only goal in a crucial World Cup qualifying game against El Salvador. It was his second career goal for the United States national team. Robinson plays his club soccer for Fulham in the English Championship, in which the Cottagers topped the table for the most of the season. But did you know Fulham is known as the Cottagers because they play at Craven Cottage on the banks of the River Thames? Gabby Wilson, Michigan Wolverines, gymnastics. Her height is 5'3". She was born May 1st, 2001, in her hometown, Lisplinty, Michigan. Performing her routine to a mix that includes the theme song to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Everybody Hates Chris, Wilson scored two perfect tens on the floor during the 2022 season. She had one on the vault as well. In 2021, she was an All-American in the all-around, floor, vault, and uneven bars, as the Wolverines won the team national title. But did you know the first perfect 10 on a floor routine was accomplished by Nellie Kim of the Soviet Union in the 1976 Olympics? Warm up, hot take. Get rid of the refs. First-time readers and brand-new subscribers, welcome to SI Kids. You've arrived at the best part of the magazine, my column, which in no way directly contradicts our previous issue. As great as this section is, I would ask that you skip the next paragraph, for no particular reason. Okay, so I know this headline does contradict our previous issue, an ode to the importance of referees. Here's the deal. I was never on board with the refs issue, especially during March Madness when the Zebras once again conspired to bust my bracket. For the 27th meeting in a row, I had picked the hot take issue with yours truly on the cover. But the powers that be didn't think my mug would drive newsstand sales. So here I am, as usual, cleaning up their mess with a righteous rant that's 100% the truth. Referees create cheaters. It's not different from how Batman creates the Joker. Have you ever noticed that Batman never has to drive 40 minutes to meet to the next town over to find a supervillain? His entire rogues gallery lives in Gotham City. Why? They see Batman and it gives them the impression that it's normal to dress up in a costume and get into a fist fight on a ledge. It's the same principle with officiating. Athletes see a referee and it tells them that there's an expectation that they will try to get away with breaking the rules, so they try. Even the very act of making the rule book creates cheating. For if there is no rule book, there are no rules to break. People will default to an innate sense of what's fair. Have you never thought that you could determine a catch in football better than the confusing definition used by the NFL? But you're thinking, athletes break the rules all the time. The problem would be worse without someone watching them. I'm not just proposing benching the referees. Sports need a culture change that would make the referee obsolete. Luckily, this idea is not just pie-in-the-sky hypothetical. Two sports already get along fine without zebras. Curling, a Winter Olympics mainstay, and Ultimate Frisbee, which could be in the Summer Games in 2028. Curling Canada's rulebook starts with a code of ethics. I will conduct myself in an honorable manner both on and off the ice. I will never knowingly break a rule, but if I do, I will divulge the breach. The rules even prescribe modesty in victory and composure in defeat. Players have been ejected from games for swearing, and there certainly are close calls. One of the sport's most infamous moments happened in the 1972 World Championships when the United States lost after accidentally kicking a stone while celebrating. The official rules of ultimate are similar to curling. If two ultimate players disagree on what happened, They're supposed to hash things out. If someone is obviously cheating on purpose, the two team captains meet and make a mutual decision on how to handle it. Some high-stakes games use an observer, a neutral third party, who can help arbitrate disputes. Other leagues have gone so far as to hire refs, but it's an unusual step. Clearly, Ultimate Frisbee believes its lack of on-field judges is a feature, not a bug. Contested calls still happen. This is when they use something called a spirit timeout, a break in the game meant to allow players to work through a dispute or just cool off. Would this system work in any of the world's biggest pro sports leagues? Maybe. In a sport like hockey, spirit timeout would be a funny euphemism for a situation in which two guys are punching each other. More about that on the next page. Still, the biggest problem in dumping the umps isn't that the players will fight, but that the fans will. People really care about sports, and hey, that's fine. It keeps me in chocolate milk. But with the spread of legalized gambling, people are literally staking their livelihoods on the outcomes of games. Can you imagine how they would react the first time a player failed to call a penalty on themselves? Or worse, imagine how mad fans would be when a player did admit to breaking a rule, causing their team to lose the game. Currently, fan ire gets evenly spread between officials and blundering players. Nobody should have to bear the brunt of all that anger. That's why Leeds can't fire all the referees tomorrow. But we can take the first steps toward eventually making them obsolete by encouraging fair play and always honestly admitting our mistakes. My co-workers can start by apologizing for the previous issue. Reader engagement. Kip answers your questions. Eli writes, "Hey Kip, why do fights commonly break out in hockey but not in any other sports?" And McLean writes, "I attended a Philadelphia Flyers game and got to see a fight. My parents said I had witnessed something that doesn't happen often. Do you think that fight should be a part of hockey?" Hey, Eli and McLean, I hope you don't mind my answering your questions at the same time. It would seem you two disagree about how commonplace fights are. But before we have to send you off for 5 minutes on each, I think you're both right. Hockey fights are frequent relative to other sports, but they don't happen as often as they used to. So what's the deal? To answer Eli's question first, fighting in hockey has existed longer than the NHL. The sport has nonstop battles, so it makes it sense that all that hitting, bumping, and shoving occasionally spills over into frustrated fisticuffs. Of course, just because something has always existed doesn't mean we should tolerate it forever, like Buzz Beamer at this magazine's mascot. Fighting has changed over time. In 1974 to 1975, one tough flyer named Dave Schultz would serve 472 penalty minutes. These days, even the toughest guy struggled to hit 150. What happened? Fighting became an arms race. Teams grabbed goons to protect their star players. Other teams got bigger guys to fight those guys. Pretty soon, the only people brave enough to fight these enforcers were other enforcers. Eventually, teams realized that these tough customers weren't always the best possible options for their roster. Now, players generally don't make teams as dedicated enforcers. I'll admit to enjoying the occasional fight, but to paraphrase that most legendary of coaches, Yoda, fights not make one great. Hockey is an excellent game, maybe even without punching. It doesn't need gimmicks. They don't tolerate fighting in international hockey. They probably shouldn't in the NHL either. And May birthdays. Belarusian tennis pro Aryna Sabalenka turns 24. Chris Paul of the Phoenix Suns is 37 years old. Chicago Cubs' Wilson Contreras celebrates his 30th birthday. And on May 26th, Dallas Cowboys linebacker Micah Parsons turns 23. And finally for May, May 29th, Nashville Predators winger Tanner Janot is 25 years old. Warm up. Future star Isabel Lovito. Her birthplace is Philadelphia. Her birth date is March 3rd, 2007. Her sport is figure skating. Isabel Lovito can't resist the thrill of performance. One year I had a sassy program, so I winked at one of the judges, says Isabel, the 2021 United States Junior Champion. It's a really fun part about skating. It's a personality thing. Isabel, who skates with a balletic flair, won bronze as the youngest competitor at the 2022 United States Figure Skating Championships. She wasn't old enough to qualify for the Olympics, but come 2026, Isabel doesn't want to disappoint her grandma, who lived near the rink where figure skating events will be held at the Milano Cortina Winter Games. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskid@si.com. The grid. So we have New York Rangers defenseman Adam Fox, Team USA curler Nina Roth, and Washington Spirit defender Kelly O'Hara. And here's the question. If you could have any superpower, what would you choose? New York Rangers Adam Fox says flight. Nina Roth, super speed. Kelly O'Hara, teleportation. Next question. What is your hidden talent? New York Rangers Adam Fox says, I don't have one. Nina Roth says, I can flare my nostrils. Kelly O'Hara, I can do a handstand. Next question. Who is the funniest athlete you know? Adam Fox says, Ryan Lindgren. Nina Roth says, Matt Hamilton. And Kelly O'Hara says, Emily Sonnet. Next question, what is your favorite video game? Adam Fox says, NBA 2K. Nina Roth says, Pokemon Go. And Emily Sonnet, old school Mario Brothers for Game Boy. Next question. What movie have you seen the most times? Adam Fox, The Other Guys. Nina Roth, The Fifth Element. And Kelly O'Hara, A Christmas Story. And finally, who is your favorite athlete outside of your sport? Adam Fox is Tiger Woods. Nina Roth says Serena Williams. And Kelly O'Hara says Stephanie Gilmore. History, the legacy of Title IX. 50 years after it was passed, the legislation has opened doors for women. In March 1972, the first women's college basketball national tournament was held. It was staged by the Association for Intercollegiate Athletics for Women and won by Tiny Immaculata, a school of 750 or so students outside of Philadelphia, to raise the nearly $3,000 they needed to travel to Illinois for the tournament. Players sold buttons that read, "We're going to be number one. We try harder." A month earlier, Senator Birch Bayh had introduced legislation that would go a long way toward creating a system in which players wouldn't have to sell knickknacks for the chance to compete for a championship. The act became known as Title IX. It compels schools to offer women the same opportunities as men. Title IX was signed into law that summer, but it had to withstand several challenges from administrators who were worried it would harm football and men's basketball programs. Jumpstart. The 2022 women's title game drew 18,304 fans, a massive increase over the crowd at Immaculata 72 win. In the 50 years since Title IX has succeeded in creating opportunities for women in sports, as recently as 1981, fewer than 30,000 women participated in college athletics. By 2021, that number was 219,000. And high schools have seen girls' participation increase by more than 1,000%. Of course, there is still work to be done. That was made evident in 2021 when pictures of the poor conditions at the women's Final Four went viral. But as former Texas Women's Athletic Director and Title IX advocate Donna Lopiano points out, there is more to sports than just playing. A majority of female corporate executives, for example, played sports, helping them acquire the leadership skills to break into the old boys' club. Says Lopiano, the cultural impact of equal opportunity for women in sport extends well beyond sport. No person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. That's the text of Title IX. Continuing with warm-up, love you a lot, never mind heard of them. Professional sports seem like one big club. Tom Brady hangs out with Cristiano Ronaldo after the Manchester United game. LeBron James throws tight spirals to Dallas Cowboys stars in pregame warm-ups. You can name every athlete who's ever lived, so surely everyone else can too, right? Especially other pros. But it's not so. Here are some of the funniest circumstances in which someone didn't recognize or couldn't name a star player. Jack Eichel, the Golden Knights star, arrived in Vegas after falling out with his original team, the Buffalo Sabres, about what kind of neck surgery he should get. Eichel preferred a procedure to NHL player had undergone. The Sabres ultimately blocked his ability to choose that operation, and he held out until he was traded to a team that would let him. Justifying his decision later, Eichel cited whomever was the first pitcher to get Tommy John surgery. We'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Tommy John. Ichiro Suzuki, the Seattle Mariners legend, had a reputation for many things, including a unique stretching routine and a dry sense of humor. The former explains why Tom Brady asked Ichiro via text message for tips on keeping limber. The latter may explain why Ichiro asked his teammates upon receiving the text, "Who is Tom Brady?" with a bad word added for emphasis. Poor Joe. Sometimes Jeopardy. Contestants skip questions that seem obvious to us, obsessive sports nerds. But jumping in with the wrong answer can be way funnier than admitting defeat. A contestant named Joe buzzed into above answer with, "Who is Magic Johnson?" Before Diane gave the obvious correct response, some people advise, if it's a hockey player, guess Gretzky. If it's an abstract Dutch painter, guess Mondrian. Kobe Bryant, believe it or not. NBA legend Kobe Bryant spent much of his childhood in Italy while his father played professional basketball there. His European upbringing led to his speaking fluent Italian and apparently having no idea who Michael Jordan was. To be clear, by the time Bryant was in American high school, MJ was winning rings, so he had heard about him by then. Deion Sanders, after primetime, called Tyrann Mathieu the best safety in the game in 2018. Titans defensive back Kevin Byard took exception on Twitter. Sanders replied, "You are looking at who writes tell you who's the best. I know who players and former players feel is the best. You continue to be a fan, and I will continue being the man." Let's hope Sanders genuinely confused Byard for a fan. 100-plus assists in an NHL season has been accomplished only 13 times, 11 times by this player. Looks like Wayne Gretzky. How the mighty. Well, some of sport's most hallowed records could be broken in the coming years. Others will become even less attainable. Here's who has a shot to rewrite the history books. The king takes the scoring crown. It's a matter of when, not if, LeBron James will break Kareem Abdul's record of 30,387 career points. Barring an injury, he will probably do it next season. That a Laker will be breaking another longtime Lakers record will only make the moment that much cooler. The NBA's all-time scoring title is a strange honor. How many younger fans knew that Karl Malone had sat in second place behind Abdul-Jabbar for more than 20 years until James overtook him this season? Yes, the point, no pun intended, of basketball is to score. But the unwieldy five-digit nature of the record makes it hard to remember and even harder to calculate James's distance. And the GOAT debate has never been LeBron versus Kareem. In some ways, it's like being Major League Baseball's career runs leader, Ricky Henderson, with 2,295. Bill James, the father of sabermetrics, once said of Henderson, if you could split him in two, you'd have two Hall of Famers. LeBron James figured to split into at least 10. The Great Eight. 95 in parentheses. The most impressive part of Alexander Ovechkin's potentially breaking Wayne Gretzky's mark of 894 career goals is how far away he is from every other Gretzky record. The Great Eight isn't even halfway to the Great One's 2,857 points, and he may soon be the NHL's active leader in the category. Gretzky's stranglehold on hockey's record books is a case of the sport's best player reaching his prime in a high offense era. NHL teams averaged 4.01 goals per game in 1981-82. The season Gretzky had 92 games and 120 assists. For most of Ovechkin's career, that average has hovered around 2.7. It's a testament to the captain's longevity that it's even thinkable he reached 895 career goals. Comparable goal scorers like Mike Bossy and Pavel Bure retired in their early 30s. Two factors work in Ovi's favor. The league is scoring more in general, up to 3.1 goals per game this season, and his wicked one-timer means he'll keep lighting the lamp even if his legs slow down. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreading.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.